Forgive me if I seem a little overeager or too excited, but hunting seasons are either now open or on the cusp of opening. My goodness, where did the summer go? Now, I recognize that not all who are listening hunt, but I'd be willing to bet a moose steak that the majority are affected by hunting, whether through hunting directly, or someone in the family providing meat for the freezer, or through other means. And I would add, as it ties to Togiak Refuge and the refuge system as a whole, that Togiak Refuge has, as one of its primary management goals, subsistence use to include subsistence hunting. And the refuge system has, as one of its identified priority uses, hunting. So getting a bit geeked up over hunting, beyond my own personal excitement, is well within line of the acknowledged goals of my employer. So with that in mind, let's turn our eyes and lend our ears, if only briefly today, to what many of you are likely doing to get ready for another fall hunting season. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I am a fan of preparation, at least where hunting is concerned. A part of that is rooted in a firm belief that preparation helps me to be more successful than I might otherwise be. The other part of it is that preparation never really stops, if done right, and spreads out the enjoyment over the portions of the calendar when I can't actually be hunting. I'm talking about things like gun care, reloading, target practice, location investigation and travel planning, and new gear research and acquisition. That last one is code for buying new stuff. Frankly, the list could be very lengthy of things you can and maybe should do during the off-season. But now it's crunch time. Actual hunting looms large. How much planning you need to put in will certainly vary with experience and where and what you plan to do. I have friends for whom hunting is more of a science than anything. After so many years of going to the same place and using the same tactics, year after year, for, well, let's say moose. For them, perhaps not as much planning is likely needed as for someone going on a float hunt for the first time on a new river. That said, there are things all of us who plan to hunt can be doing to be ready for season. I'd even go so far as to say that there are a few things all of us should be doing to get ready for season, that it is incumbent upon us to do such, and comes with being a responsible hunter. The first one that really comes to mind is spending time at the range shooting. Honestly, I'm not sure if there is such a thing as too much time at the range. I consider myself a very middle-of-the-road shooter. I'm out there maybe more than some, but not as much as others. I do try to spend enough time out there with any gun I might hunt with that I know it's properly sighted in, and I'm completely comfortable with how it's shooting, for whatever given load I plan to use when I hunt. A caveat here. Not all guns and not all people are created equal. Some folks just seem to have a knack where shooting is concerned and find their zone of shooting happiness much quicker than others. Also, some rifles are a lot more forgiving than others with regards to various loads or shooting conditions. I have an old Ruger 77 and 300 Win Mag that will shoot tiny groups with pretty much anything I care to throw down range all day long, and without regards to any faults I might possess as a shooter. But I also have a number of rifles that are a lot more finicky than that. They will shoot some loads pretty well and others not so well. It's my responsibility to spend the time with those rifles, if I plan to hunt with them, to know that the loads I am using are functioning well in those rifles and to know that they are sighted in and shooting well. Without going into a great amount of detail, you need to be doing a few basic things at the range. We all need to be doing a few basic things if we plan to hunt. First of all, decide on a load or ammo that you'll use for the gun you plan to hunt with. For example, even though I reload quite a bit, I most often use the same factory ammo with one of my favorite guns, my Marlin XLR and 338 Marlin Express. Once you have a load that you think is up to the task of whatever you're hunting and it's shooting well from your gun, then it's time to make sure you're sighted in. And then finally, after that, take the time to simply spend time shooting your gun, get to know its quirks, understand how it functions, and build trust in the idea that it will function properly all the time. Also, figure out your own personal limits as far as range based on your gun and your own personal shooting abilities. The bottom line, don't shortchange yourself when it comes to spending time at the range before you head out to hunt. In the field is no time to be wondering where your rifle is hitting. I'd also say it's a must-have step to planning for everybody to be ready for what to do after the harvest. Put another way, are you ready and able to deal with the meat in a responsible way once you harvest an animal? A I've talked about this a bit in the past, and there are a lot of variables in play, such as time of year, temperature, experience level of the hunter, location, how and where the animal was hit, and possible other weather factors. While all of those and other things can play a role in how it's done, actual game meat care comes down to two things: keeping it dry and clean, and keeping the temperature down. Moisture and heat are the two biggest enemies you face between the kill site and the freezer. If it's late in the year and temperatures are cooler, well, think frost at night. Time is much more on your side. Hanging meat and letting it age can be a good thing that greatly enhances both flavor and tenderness. But the warmer temperatures of the early season typically demand a more fast-paced approach to dealing with meat. If you're hunting and plan to simply get your animal into the boat and go home, this probably isn't a very big deal. However, for other situations, more planning might be required. When I hunt for caribou in the fall, it's often still warm. As a part of my planning, because I fly to where I hunt, I have poles with me to hang the meat from, good quality game bags, citric acid in abundance, and a tarp to put over it all to keep both the sun and rain off the meat. And a word here about being prepared. I don't always harvest something when I go out hunting, but I try to always be prepared for that to happen. I once read a quote from a famous bow hunter that's related to this. He asked a buddy he was hunting with once if he had game bags in his pack. Well, his buddy was the one telling the story. His buddy expressed a mild level of surprise at that question and said, yeah, he had game bags. After that, the famous bow hunter smiled and said, good, I don't hunt with people who don't carry game bags. They don't expect to kill anything. I've always thought that there's a good lesson in that story. Do you expect to succeed when you hunt? If so, plan for it. Another thing that definitely applies to all of us: make sure you have your paperwork in order. Do you need a current hunting license? Be sure to buy one and have it on you. I ask if you need one because there are a few exceptions, for age and such. If you do need one, have it. Tied to that is having the appropriate tags for the animal and area you'll hunt. For example, I have my watershed resident moose tag that allows me to hunt Game Management Unit 17C and further allows me to harvest any bull with a visible antler. Some of the other tags available come with restrictions of various sorts. For the Nishigek Peninsula, for caribou hunting, I have tags for that specific hunt, which is just on the Nishigek Peninsula, and a federal hunt. The point is simple. For most of us, we have some form or forms of documentation we need to have on us to be able to legally hunt. Be sure to have that for what and where you plan to hunt. And one other thing, make sure you mark those tags immediately after the kill. One thing to consider, though a great many people don't give it a thought and get along just fine, is the issue of you're out there trying to kill a large animal for future meals, which will, by its nature, lead to a number of pungent smells during the field dressing part of the process, and bears are out there trying to do the same. As such, give thought to bear safety measures. Start with a clean camp and a super clean sleeping tent, no matter the level of your successes. There are both non-lethal and lethal deterrents you can use. For those that prefer non-lethal, air horns, loud whistles, and pepper spray are popular routes. Lethal deterrents are firearms of a sufficient caliber or ammunition's choice as to keep you safe in a potentially life-threatening situation. Another thing to consider is the use of a bear fence, whether for around your camp, around your game meat, or both. I have a couple of fences I routinely use. If I have my family in camp, I go with one around the tent, and I try to always use one around any meat that I happen to have hanging. The bottom line, don't let bears keep you from doing what you need to do, but don't ignore them either. A lot of preparation has to do with gear of various sorts, after the gun that does the killing and tools that care for the game. Some of this has been the stuff of past field notes, whether connected to hunting or not. Still, many of these things are worth a passing mention for those who are new and those who are forgetful. If you plan on camping, have a solid, reliable tent. By that I mean one that has a fly that goes all the way to the ground and a high waterproof rating, say 1500 at least. And if you have a choice, aluminum poles are lighter and more durable, in general, than fiberglass poles. At the very least, make sure you have that full rain fly element covered. When possible, with a sleeping bag and with clothes, go with synthetic materials, or wool in the case of clothes, and stay away from cotton. Have a method of communication available, in whatever form that might be, and have a plan in place that multiple people back home know about. Have a well-stocked personal survival kit that includes a good first aid kit. Yes, the goal is to score on a freezer full of meat, but that really doesn't do you any good if safety isn't a priority. As I record this episode, and as you hear it today, caribou season is open for Game Management Unit 17C, and other seasons will open in the very near future. Be safe and best of wishes to you this fall in your efforts to put away meat for the winter. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.